for my entertainers.
Taking a look back at the Falcons game with Falcons Monday.
Falcons Monday is presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Our Falcons play here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning shift, trouble in for Tiffany. So, gentlemen, I woke up yesterday really early like I normally do. Just a beautiful, there's a hint of fall in the air, beautiful morning. The coffee tasted good, made a good breakfast, you know, with some eggs. Cut my finger open, though. Look at this. Boy, those ceramic knives don't play, man. Right there at the edge of the fingernail.
Were you cooking?
Yeah, I was cooking. Nice little crescent-shaped cut, too, right there. That felt really good.
Yikes.
But I was feeling so good about the Falcons, so excited about kickoff, and then, well, the actual result ended up happening.
Yeah, and then they actually kicked off.
They actually kicked off. 404-726-0929. The therapy lines are open. Free therapy. This will be worth 10 grand in therapy once you get to enjoy some of our morsels of wisdom to talk you off the ledge.
Shout out to BetterHelp.com. There you go.
Nice. First of all, let's get to Raheem Morris. Raheem, Kirk Cousins, he's not going to bounce back from this. It's done, isn't it?
For Kirk, he knows he has to play. We know he has to play better. There's no doubt about that, and I look forward to him doing that. He's played in the league for a long time, and I look forward to him bouncing back from a rough game and a rough outing. I'm not overly concerned with that.
Not overly concerned. Well, okay. But, man, what I saw yesterday was just so disappointing.
Well, look.
Out of him.
Yeah, it was. And the main thing for me was, we can talk all the other things you want, but the decisions he made. Because that's why he's here. But he's here because you had a quarterback last year who had everything but the processing and making the good decisions. And sometimes you live to fight another day. And there's a couple of throws yesterday that he should have tucked the ball, taken the sack, or thrown it away, and instead he put it in harm's way, and that's unacceptable. There was also, and I honestly think, and this, you know, Arch was trying to talk about it, he in the snap that was botched, he stops the man in motion, then he brings him again, then he tries to stop him again.
I thought he just stopped him, period. I just thought,
he'd already started him.
I think he realized after he lifted his leg that he was like, this isn't going to go well, and then tried to stop him because he was like, oh, I messed up. I lifted my leg.
But it's too late.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I think it was like I think he had so much going on in his mind that he was like, snap, motion, snap, stop. Like, and then it was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. And the same thing happened later on where he tried to move Kyle Pitts over to help Caleb McGarry, and Kyle Pitts never gets up on the line of scrimmage, and it's an illegal formation. It's just like this is a debacle.
It looks like a disaster.
A lot of things going on in his head, and not a lot of movement in his feet.
Well, let's David Archer caught up with Kirk Cousins, and let's get inside his head.
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report.
Brought to you by Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw, where you can always expect the best.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not the result certainly you wanted, Kirk, and I know that we as quarterbacks, you try to value the football. I know you're disappointed in some of that.
Yeah, I think three turnovers. It's hard to win with three turnovers. You shouldn't win when you have three turnovers, and it's a shame because our defense, I thought, did a really good job, you know, and we didn't play enough complementary football to take advantage of the way our defense played.
Tell me about the foothold that looked like you started to get there, even the opening drive, where you guys kind of really mixing things up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a strong first drive. Thought he ran the football well most of the day. Had a good timely third down conversion there on the first drive. You know, it's as old as time, but when you beat yourself, you know, that's when you get beat. So when we weren't beating ourselves, we moved the football. But too many times we beat ourselves and killed drives.
Well, there was certainly a lot of pressure, and you knew that they were going to come with pressure. That's who they are. That complimentary back end, front end stuff seemed to cause some problems for you guys today.
Yeah, again, you know, we moved the football well, but we had the fumble, if you will, on the shotgun snap, and then had the first interception, and then the second interception. So it just felt like, you know, we had a tough, untimely penalty a couple times that we felt like we were moving, and then suddenly we got called back, and now instead of first and 10, we're, you know, third and long or second and long. So a lot of things that that made life a lot harder for us.
Conversation will obviously ebb to, okay, didn't play in the preseason. The first unit didn't play, not just Kurt, but the first unit didn't play. A little bit of rustiness. I didn't see that. How did you feel about that?
I mean, there's no excuses, and we got off on that first drive well. So, you know, and we've talked about this, that it's a calculated deal. You know, we need to have our guys healthy. So that was the focus. And, you know, now we've got to quickly turn it around and make sure that it's truly its own entity, the one game, and you flush that and you move forward and try to get the next one.
Okay, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
Clearly, he's going to be better Monday night in Philadelphia. Clearly, he can go 25 of 29 for 272 and two touchdowns, right?
This is what we talked about off the top of the show, Rob. It's one of two things. And I think Falcons fans are waking up blaming three different names today. I think you're looking at Caleb McGarry and you're going, dude, you didn't play well. I think you're looking at Kirk Cousins and going, dude, you're making a lot of money and you're turning the ball over. And I think that finally you're looking at Zach Robinson going, that was the most predictable, most vanilla, most unbelievable game plan I've ever seen.
What was that number you gave earlier?
I'll give it back again about the shotguns and the pistol formations, but to kind of
96%, I think.
To kind of sum that up, I mean, it is what it is. And I think that, to your point, it can be better down the road. The question is, you have to ask yourself, did Zach Robinson make the game plan that vanilla because Kirk Cousins couldn't move? Or is this what Zach Robinson is more than he's not? And I think that's more concerning down the stretch. If you are a believer in the Falcons and want things to change, if that's just simply what Zach Robinson's game plan was and Kirk Cousins is fully healthy, then that's the cause for concern.
Would you believe that it was a combination of they were trying to protect and – in some ways, in their own hair, they're like, let's protect him. Let's not put him in harm's way in his first time back out there. Let's let him get some confidence. But it just, at some point, you got to turn him loose.
Well, that can be it in the passing game for sure. But the no play actions, I don't understand. You can run play action out of pistol. And the numbers are this, and Field Yates he tweets this from ESPN Stats and Info. Falcons were in pistol or shotgun on 96% of the snaps. Of the 22 out of shotgun, the Falcons had zero designed runs. Of the 26 out of pistol, the Falcons ran the ball 81% of the plays. So, again, I'm not putting this all on Zach Robinson, but I have so many questions about what the game plan was. And when you got into the whole T.J. Watt is killing us, Kyle Pitts touching T.J. Watt with two hands was clearly not working. And you know what I mean? Like, there's no design draw. There's no design bootleg. There's no design. There's literally not one play at not one play action pass. And this is a guy, Kirk Cousins, who is like famous for his success on play action.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, Raheem Morris said, you know, hey, we can learn.
All these things are the same. They're all learning episodes. They're all learning opportunities. Whether you win, whether you lose, they're all the same for us coaches, right? You got to learn from wins. You got to learn from losses. And we will certainly learn from this loss.
The disappointing thing for me is that we're talking about Kirk Cousins, Zach Robinson, and T.J. Watt, Caleb McGarry, instead of, you know, how phenomenal you played on defense. The fact that you didn't allow a touchdown yesterday. You know, Justin Fields did everything they needed him to do because he didn't do anything extraordinary or play outside of his means. He didn't do any risk-taking because he didn't have to, and that's what you needed him to do. That was his job yesterday, especially with the fact that there were six field goals and five of them were 40 or longer.
Six field goals.
40 or longer, five of them.
That's crazy.
Let's go to Alex up in Canton. Good morning, Alex. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
What's up, buddy? Good, man.
Hey, I'm going to keep it short here. I personally believe that if Kirk can't get it together, I think there's going to be pitchforks and torches outside the stadium within about 3 weeks.
Oh, no, Frankenstein.
I think everyone's ready to see that rookie if he can't get it together for the first couple weeks. And if it's like an 0-3 start, I really don't know what this franchise is going to do, y'all. Y'all take it easy.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Penix was dominant against Michigan just 9 months ago. So. Just saying.
Listen, yeah. if there's an 0-3 start, just buckle up for that. And that's not going to make or break the season, unfortunately, but buckle up.
I think Alex is not speaking untruthfully, but I just think that that is where you have to separate your fandom from the reality of the situation. And because I think what he's speaking is how a lot of people probably feel in their car, but the reality of the situation is it would have to be 0-6, 0-7, because I don't think you invest that money to put a guy on the bench.
Yeah, do it. No. And not only that, there's just no guarantee that Michael Penix is ready. I mean, it's one thing to go against the second team, Dolphins pass rush in week one of the preseason – But I'm with him, and I'm with Alex in this, that Kirk Cousins has simply got to play better. We can look at Caleb McGarry and Zach Robinson. That doesn't take away the bad decisions that Kirk made. You want to put him in a better situation. You want to put everybody in a better situation if you're Zach Robinson. And if you're Kirk, you have to protect some of the play calls. But that just simply doesn't take away the bad decisions of just throwing a ball up for grabs down the field. It just doesn't help.
All right, coming up, good day for some former Georgia Bulldogs, by the way. Unfortunately, right here in Atlanta and also out in San Diego. That's coming up next in the Huddle, Sports Radio 99 again.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. That's Zero Res. Before we get in the huddle, lots of interesting occurrences yesterday in the NFL and the Tyreek Hill thing. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one. Before we get to that, though, let's go out to Kansas City and Devin. Good morning, Devin. What's on your mind?
Man. I'm already mad that I had to move to Kansas City and I have to live around all these farmers. But I get excited, and I wait for the season to start. And I thought I was watching damn Wheel of Fortune the way Caleb McGarry was getting spent around all day. Now, I get TJ Watt, but I mean, damn. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, Mike, I'm with you. Because it really hurt me. And I'm not trying to do the whole Michael Penix thing in, but I refuse to believe that Zach Robinson is that vanilla of a play caller being under Sean McVay with that O-line that he saw work with play action last year, that he would call that vanilla of a game plan, just like you said. And if that's the offense that we're going to run because we're trying to protect Kirk, it's not that I want to see Penix in, but he'll get hurt doing that type of game plan being not there. He's not healthy enough. Should they or should they not at least think about putting Penix in if we can't run a full, complete game plan?
I think
Thank it's you, a
phenomenal call because I completely agree with you. I am not of the, hey, you know, it's time to put Michael Penix in because of the decision-making. But if that's as limited as we can possibly be offensively, then something has to change. What? Because let me tell you something right now. The two defensive lines coming in the next 2 weeks ain't going to be any freaking easier.
And their strengths are interior. Their strengths are interior. Yeah. Not that
Drew
that,
Dolman didn't have a good day either.
No, and he seemed – that's what I do – that's what just – I don't want to get to the offseason, but that's what I was so miffed by. Is that Drew Dolman, I didn't think had a good season last year. But everyone told you that, man, they were all impressed with how the player he's turned into. I didn't think he had a good offseason. I thought it was a necessity that you kept him basically out of the other moves you did. You know, Lindstrom at times struggles with the bigger defensive tackles. He didn't have a bad game yesterday, per se, but he knew. So when you have Jordan Davis coming up next week and Jalen Carter, to that matter, that worries me.
Yeah.
You know, the Eagles' strengths no longer their edge rushers. It's that interior. Now, their edge rushers eat because of how impressive their interior is.
Let me tell you something. If you don't move the pocket next week, it might be Penix time before you want it to be.
Oof.
I mean, if you don't move the pocket at all the way you did yesterday, it ain't going to be good, man. I'm just telling you that.
All right, a lot of rookie quarterbacks made their NFL debut yesterday. A Bulldog gets his first NFL touchdown. Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close! Bring it in close!
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
All right, gentlemen, Tyreek Hill detained by police for the game against the Jaguars yesterday. The one officer that was, one of the officers involved, he's been put on administrative leave. Apparently, it was a moving violation. I heard that Tyreek Hill got a little mouthy and the cops bowed up and put him on the ground. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I know. It's just weird. Scotty Scheffler moment, as you say.
Yeah. I'm sitting there eating with Arch and Mike Conti, and I think Wes was with us too. And I go, hey, did you see this? And it's like Tyreek Hill, and I'm watching the video, and I don't even know what to think. I think it's Scheffler-esque. I don't think he was in the zone. of where players are entering, like with Scotty. But I do think this is an overreach, it appears, because if it wasn't, why was he released?
I don't know. Let's hear from Tyreek Hill. Here's his explanation.
Tyreek, why do you believe the police put you in handcuffs?
I have no idea, for real. No idea. No idea, man. It's crazy. No idea. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way. Didn't cuss. Didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
Let me give a massive amount of kudos to him in that moment, because he could have absolutely gone in.
And he could have made himself a martyr.
He could have. And Calais, same thing, man. It's just when you look at, I expected a completely different reaction from what we know about Tyreek Hill and the situations he's been in personally, and that's not what he did. So I mean, a massive, massive tip of the cap to Tyreek Hill in that moment of not completely throwing everything against the wall and going in.
Well, he spun it into a positive, did Tyreek Hill?
Everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know. So, I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to like flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro. Like, you guys are here to like protect us as individuals, and you know, I have a platform and I want to be able to team up with you guys. So
I agree with you, man. He could have turned himself into a martyr and started raising hell and turned it into a whole big thing, and he didn't.
I don't know that any one person has ever flipped the way I have thought of him.
Right.
In one clip, more than it just did Tyreek Hill.
Okay, Tyreek, I'm with you, brother.
Unbelievable.
I've never been a big Tyreek Hill fan from other things that have come out, but I agree with you. I think he handled this well. I know that Calais Campbell was detained, air quote, detained as well. I tend to believe that Calais Campbell, because what I heard an early report yesterday, that teammates saw this and went to the scene to help support. And I think that's probably why Calais Campbell was detained, but it's a weird situation. I don't want to go as far as call the police officers bad apples, because I just don't know. You don't know exactly why he was pulled over. And until you know it, you know, it's the thing with Scottie Scheffler, is we knew exactly why he was pulled over, right? From the get-go. But we don't I just don't understand the need to have Tyreek Hill on the ground and handcuffed on the asphalt.
Seemed a little extreme to me, too. All right, moving on.
Yeah, don't get it.
Moving on from that. Caleb Williams makes his Bears debut, gets a win in his first start. He wasn't anything spectacular, though, 14 of 29, 93 yards, gentlemen. But Will Levis helped their cause by throwing two interceptions. So,
what was it? I think I saw the stat that Caleb Williams and Desmond Ridder are the first quarterbacks to start their season opener and then win the game by throwing less than 100 yards with 25-plus attempts. A weird game. Mike, didn't you tell me another team that didn't score a touchdown but won the game? An offensive touchdown?
Yeah, what else? There was one other team that had just an awkward game going on, and I can't remember which one it was, because I was watching it yesterday in the post-game show with Chris Goforth, and I was like, man, there are just a couple of teams that can absolutely vibe with what was going on. I mean, look at New England, and you look at what Cincinnati is. You want to talk about
that? That's the biggest shock of week one to me.
I was like
16-10.
I said in the postgame, I said, Falcons fan, want anybody to vibe with? Look at what Will Levis did from the quarterback position yesterday, the awful decisions he made. And the fact that Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase with the hold in, that you put one touchdown up and you allowed Ramondre Stevenson to go 25 carries for a $120 on you yesterday. Like, it's unbelievable what some of these teams were putting forth. It's just crazy. I mean, let me tell you something right now. You want to talk about a forest fire. Daniel Jones and the New York Giants.
Ooh.
After being on Hard Knocks offseason edition and hearing that GM talk about, you know, literally has Jaden Daniels in his office and says, you know, Brian Daboll goes, do you want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants? Now you're riding, now out in public and the season hits and you're riding with Daniel Jones. Ooh. And he plays as badly as he did. That ain't just a hot seat, buddy. That's a forest fire up there.
Ladd McConkey gets a touchdown in his Chargers debut, and well, Jim Harbaugh gets a victory in his Chargers debut. Nice little fancy little shimmy move by Ladd, showing how athletic he is, getting in the end zone.
You just know Ladd McConkey is going to be a successful NFL player. Yeah. I wanted to get him in our Dynasty League, and we got snaked by somebody. But, I mean, I'm not going to say good for Jim Harbaugh because he's just so ridiculous. In pregame, he puts on the receiver gloves and going around, but I'm glad.
Well, he's just weird. Let him be weird. He's just a weird dude.
Yeah, it just comes off unlikably weird. Like, he's an unlikable weird. Like, there's some weird that's quirky and you kind of like. You kind of get it, right? But him, yeah. Like, Mike McDaniels is kind of a likable weird.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, an unlikable
that's
weird.
That's a nice comparison. Jaden Daniels in his debut, nothing spectacular. 17 of 24, 184 yards. But Baker Mayfield thriving under chaos. He was pressured all day. But he does what Baker does. He extends plays, and what does he do? He goes out and throws for 289 and four touchdowns, and the Buccaneers get a big win yesterday.
I thought he was one of the more surprising performances. We made so much in the offseason about Dave Canales going to Carolina and like how much that would mean for Bryce Young. And you look at what Bryce Young did, and it was awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
And Baker didn't miss
it. Yeah, Baker Mayfield didn't miss it one bit. Baker Mayfield's like, plug me in, let's roll, and throws for almost 304 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know who looked scarier for Falcons fans yesterday between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints, man. Oof. Both of those offenses looked unbelievable yesterday, and you did not expect that to come out of either group, so it's kind of crazy.
Fascinating game tonight, and I guess it's right here on Sports Radio 99 the game. Don't we carry the Monday Night Football game, I do believe?
We do.
It's going to be the Jets and Aaron Rodgers taking on the 49ers, so that's going to be fascinating to see what Aaron Rodgers is coming off an Achilles at the age of 40, and the 49ers being the 49ers, so... Got that to look forward to.
That's one of the better defenses in the NFL. They've been that for years now. I hope Brock Purdy eats tonight.
Yeah, we got Brock Purdy versus Garrett Wilson in the Dynasty matchup tonight. It's like, dude.
I need Brock Purdy
to. We're down by 15 right now. I need you to eat.
I need Brock Purdy to play like Cam Newton's in his ear, calling him a nobody.
Jared Goff's got to be feeling good because the Lions beat his former team, the Rams, in overtime. Good win for Detroit.
Honestly, man, the Rams last night, and I want to point this out because I don't think a lot of people realize this. You're just waking up looking at it. The Rams were, I think they had three offensive line injuries last night. They only had two starters left by the end of the game. So, actually, kudos to them for even making it a game, to be honest with you, against that defensive front.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart Lasting Clean. We got mic'd up coming up, don't we, Mike?
Talk a little bit about the old Barves up there at Truist Park. Big win yesterday in extra innings. Somehow pulled that one off, but we're going to get back into mic'd up after that. I did a little bit of number crunching on the Caleb McGarry against TJ Watt. We'll talk about how many times he was helped, how many times he wasn't, and what that means moving forward. That's coming up next on Mic'd Up. Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Jared Kelnick, deep right center field. Goodbye! Solo jack for Jared Kelnick. 1-0 Atlanta.
Well, the Braves would go on and get the victory yesterday. Hey, you know, all I got to say about the Braves is, I mean, I've been so immersed in football, I didn't pay much attention to the Braves this weekend. You got good pitching. Get in the tournament. Maybe a Laureano can go off. Maybe one of those nondescript guys can go off. Get in the tournament. Pitch like you've been pitching. Anything can happen. That's all I have to say about the Braves.
Well, Chris Sale is a Cy Young. There's no – on September 9th, I don't know what he could do to lose it, knock on wood. But here's the real thing. You look at the wild card, you talk about getting in, and that's what I want to touch on for real quick on here. Four teams are separated by two games.
Yeah.
And the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves are 5-5, 4-6, and 5-5 in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Mets are red hot. They are 9 out of their last 10 games they've won. Their loss was yesterday. So here's the reality, because the Braves and the Mets are now tied. The reality is, do you think the Mets can stay as hot as they are? I personally don't.
No, not at that torrid of a clip.
But the Diamondbacks and the Padres were that hot for about a 3-week stretch. like the Mets have been for a two-week stretch. The Braves were hot for about a two-week stretch, and they have come, or 3 weeks, and they've come back. So I think that you're in good, as weird as this is going to sound, you're in good position. But to your point, you do need one guy in this lineup to get hot with the pitching you've got to get you there, and then you need someone else to get hot to extend it.
And that's where I'm kind of sitting right now, that when you look at this lineup, man, and I agree with you, getting the tournament. The problem is, and this goes back to the whole, you know, there's a squadron of people out there to fire Brian Snitker right now. You got one starting hitter really that's hitting north of 250, and that's Marcell Ozuna. It's not on Snit. Not only that, what a hell of a job that we're even talking about this team in this capacity of getting into the tournament.
What have you lost? Remember, I compare it to you basically lost your starting quarterback, your best tackle, your best edge rusher, and your star receiver. That's what the Braves have lost.
I agree, man.
And Marcell Ozuna would be Kyle Pitts.
I don't know, man. I'm having problems with Kyle Pitts today. Speaking of Kyle Pitts, let's talk about that, Mike, though.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Caleb McGarry. It was the name heard around Falcons world yesterday, along with Kirk Cousins, along with Zach Robinson, along with a number of other people offensively yesterday. So last night, turned on the old condensed version of the videotape. I wanted to go kind of just take a snippet of what Caleb McGarry was doing yesterday.
You did the forensics.
I did the forensics. It's a very loose version of forensics. I didn't go back and take plays out for, you know, penalties that negated the gained yardage and everything else. But here's what I saw yesterday. First of all, the first drive was Caleb McGarry's best drive against T.J. Watt. It just was. The reason I think, guys, is because T.J. Watt was not quite sure yet what the Falcons were going to try to do offensively. Oh, maybe they'll run a draw. I don't want to fire out of my stance. They might run a bootleg. And as the game wore on, like we've talked about all day, it was like he very much was like, okay, they're not going to do that. Okay, they're not going to throw the ball over my head. Okay, he's not going to play action pass. Okay, they're not going to bootleg. Okay, they're not going to run this screen. I'm just going to tee off on Caleb McGarry until they do otherwise. Now, on the first drive, I think there was, I want to say, five drop-back passes. I didn't keep the numbers on that one exactly. Five one-on-one matchups between McGarry and T.J. Watt. Kyle Pitts helped one time. It was a very weak chip on the outside of T.J. Watt,
It was pathetic, actually, is what it was. I saw the replay.
That was on the first drive. On the first drive. All right, so here's the numbers I have. Yesterday for Caleb McGarry against T.J. Watt, I had 22 straight-up pass sets. Now, there was a couple of early swing passes. There were a couple of quick throws. But I had straight-up pass protection, Caleb McGarry against T.J. Watt. I had 22 just straight-up kick set drop-back passes. I've got Caleb McGarry getting help on 12 of those. All right, 12 of the 22 that I counted yesterday, Caleb McGarry gets chips or double teams on 12 of the 22
so
that I counted.
Slightly over 50%.
And like I said, I'm not negated. Some of these plays are negated because there's penalties that might bring them back or whatever it may be. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the actual matchup as if you were watching a one-on-one pass rush. All right? Six of those helps. That's half. That's half of the times he was being helped. Kyle Pitts. All right? I counted four of those still resulted in Kirk Cousins hits by T.J. Watt. So of the six times that Kyle Pitts helped, four of those still resulted in him getting hit. Five of those helps were Bijan Robinson. I think one or two of those actually resulted in Kirk Cousins getting hit still. And then you had a Charlie Warner leaking out into the flat. Charlie Warner actually caught a pass the time that he helped Caleb McGarry. All that being said, because I want to make sure I'm not being too rough. Zach Robinson tried to make changes in the second half, or as they got deeper into the game, on how to help Caleb McGarry. Two things went wrong. A, number one, you used the wrong dude to do it in Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts wanted absolutely none of the smoke that T.J. Watt was bringing off the edge. As a matter of fact, T.J. Watt stopped paying attention to Kyle Pitts. Even when he was being chipped, he was like, dude, I am not worried about your two hands being laid on my shoulder.
It's like a gnat.
I am going. At one point, it looked like Kyle Pitts actually gave him a shove into Kirk Cousins. It actually looked like he helped him out. The flip side of that is that if you are Zach Robinson, at some point you also have to notice that maybe Kyle Pitts is not that guy. Now, we can talk in circles about whether or not Kirk Cousins should have played in preseason. But maybe the real downfall of this entire ordeal is that you didn't get to see Kyle Pitts play in the preseason enough for Zach Robinson to know he's not that guy that's going to take a chunk out of T.J. Watt. Well, Bijan Robinson helped a ton. He was a little bit better at it. But Kyle Pitts and his two-hand touch of chipping on the way out did absolutely nothing. Even though Zach Robinson is going, I'll help you with a tight end and I'll chip on the way out. Turn it into a double team. Tell him not to leak out in the pass route. All right, turn it into a double team or put somebody more physical in there that actually wants to get their hands dirty and actually help Caleb McGarry. I'm not saying Caleb McGarry didn't stink. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you wanted your quarterback to have any time to throw the ball, that was the adjustment and the problem that I didn't see down the stretch run yesterday.
Well, two things can be right at the same time. Caleb McGarry is terrible and Kyle Pitts is not helpful.
And Zach Robinson didn't ever adjust. And it stinks.
Well, that'd
to
be
say.
Three things right at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that we can talk ourselves in circle about it. And like we've said all show, there's going to be three names brought up: Caleb McGarry, Kirk Cousins, Zach Robinson. They all three were at fault for a lot of different things yesterday in bad decisions that were made. And they all three came together to make this an absolutely ugly Falcons loss that we're still reacting to. So it's unfortunate. They did try to help they left Caleb McGarry on the island. No, they didn't. It was not an effective form of helping McGarry off the edge with Kyle Pitts.
All right, who deserves a wake-up call? 404-726-0929. Also, we're going to give away something for free. If it's free, it's me, right? Coming up a little later on, you get a chance to win Atlanta United versus Montreal. That game's coming up on Wednesday, October 2nd. In Mercedes-Benz, it's going to be a 7:30 game on Wednesday the 2nd. Tickets on sale now, by the way, at ATLUTD.com. We're going to give some United tickets away coming up within the next hour. So stay tuned for that. It's the Morning Shift. And again, more wake-up call time, 404-726-0929. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.